explain on the closing the sutra, gatha of closing the sutra. I think a few minutes ago we chanted, Michael Neal chanted after chanting, may the merit of this penetrate into each thing in all places, so that we and every sentient being together realize the Buddha way. The after lecture, we chant this one. Also, evening service, after chanting sutra, we offer this gatha to the Buddha. we call usually gatha we chant after ceremony. It is called echo in Japanese, E-K-O. In Sanskrit, parinama. P-A-R-I, pari, nama, N-A-M-A, parinama. Which means change, alteration. The second meaning is ripening. And also third meaning is development, causing to grow. Maturation, this kind of meaning. So in Buddhism, the idea of echo is pretty important. Parinama, transference of merit. I think the basic nature of existence is perfectly ripened. Ripeness means, very pure, clean, nothing to contaminate. So it's perfect. Perfect and perfect state of existence. This is a basic nature of existence. So our basic nature of existence is perfectly ripe, pure, and clean. Nothing to contaminate. And this nature, original nature, ultimate nature of existence, supports all sentient beings constantly. So from this point, I think whatever we do, I think all doings are going in the realm of ultimate nature of existence, which is extending to whole universe. So from this point, your action, your deeds, in the ceremony, or zazen in the in actions, must be ripened, very ripe, perfect, and clean, pure, nothing to contaminate. So if you do it, I think as best as we can, we should do as simply as we can. Without leaving any trace. So when you do gassho, with wholeheartedness, just to a show, without expecting anything. Perfectly, you do your doings, your zazen, your gassho in action must be very ripened, very pure. If a persimmon is perfectly ripe, it's false naturally, apart from branches. So you cannot attach to branch. So very naturally, if you ripe, your doings is perfectly ripe, it's false. In other words, you can be, you can let it go. So nothing to feel regret or not regret, or regret or not regret, perfect or not perfect, you just do. So that's why after ceremony, we chant this echo means what we have done is transferred to original nature resistance. In other words, let go of our doings to the nature. So, merit. If you do something, we have a merit. Even though you don't see it, if you do something, you have some merit. You can make progress in your practice as far forth as you have done, even a little bit. You can progress. So, that is a characteristic of human action. So you can get the reward, you can get the result. So if you get the merit, you should give it away to ultimate nature of existence, because it is a very pure and clean. So this is a Buddhistic idea. So all this we do for us, for all sentient beings, but all this, our actions, our doings must be very clear and pure and clean, ripe, perfectly ripe. So we call echo parinama. Okay. So we chant, may the merit of this penetrate into each thing in all places, so that we and every sentient being together can realize the Buddha way. This comes from Lotus Sutra, chapter 7, parable of the magic city. this story is very interesting stories. So I think in this chapter 7, the parable of magic city, it says there was a Buddha named in Sanskrit, it's very complicated, so, but in English, there is a Buddha named Universal Surpassing Wisdom, Tathagata. Universal Surpassing Wisdom, Tathagata. Or, literally, Great Pervading Surpassing Wisdom, Tathagata. So, Great Pervading Surpassing Wisdom. Great Pervading means great capability to teach freely to every living beings, any kind of beings. This is great pervading wisdom, okay? Great pervading. So this Buddha named great, pervading, unsurpassing wisdom. This wisdom is really unsurpassed, because whatever he may be, whatever he does, his capabilities always extends to all sentient beings to help and to teach. So this is his wisdom, his knowledge is really unsurpassed. And also there is, he has his own country named Sambhava, Sambhava, S-A-M-B-H-A-V-A, Sambhava, means well completed. So name of country is well completed. And also that his age, the age where he lives, is named Maharupa, great form, great appearance. So there are three things. The Buddha named great pervading surpassing wisdom Tathagata, and his country called Sambhava, well completed, and the age which he lives is called great appearance, Maharupa. And also this Buddha lived for a long, long time ago. Long, long time ago. So this Buddha is one of the past Buddha. Past Buddha. Many, many times a year ago. So how long? How many times years ago? Okay. So here says, very interesting. because since that Buddha became extinct, a very long time has passed. So this Buddha died many, many years ago. Okay. Since that, for instance, what is many years ago? Okay. This sutra mentions, for instance, suppose the earth element in a 3,000 great thousand fold world walk by someone grounded into ink powder, and he were to pass through 1,000 countries in an eastern direction, and then let fall one drop as long as a grain of dust. Again, passing through another 1,000 countries, again, let fall one drop. Suppose he thus proceeds until he has finished the ink powder made of the earth element. This is called long, long time ago. That means innumerable, countless period of time ago. Okay? You can't count. And then this Buddha, when this Buddha attained the enlightenment, the radiant light penetrated throughout the world. And then all bodies, sattvas, brahmans, deities, demons, all sentient beings who saw this light came to the Tathagata, this Tathagata, and asked for his preaching and said to him like this. How good it is to see the Buddhas, holy honored ones who save the world, who can complete the health of the triple world to deliver up the living, the all-wise honored of gods and men, out of compassion for the crowds of young buds, can open the doors of the sweet dews for the extensive relief of all innumerable kalpas of yore, Y-O-R-E, have emptily passed without Buddhas, while world honored one didn't appear, darknesses everywhere reigned, thriving were the three evil states, flourishing all the asuras, while the heavenly host dwindled and dying fell into evil estates, not hearing the law from Buddhas, ever following improper ways, their bodies, strength, and wisdom, these all dwindled away. Because of sinful karma, they lost their joy and joyful thoughts. Fixed in heretical views, unconscious of the rules of goodness, not receiving the correction of the Buddhas, they ever fell into evil ways. The Buddha is the eye of the world, and after long ages appears through pity for the living. He is revealed in the world, surpassing in his perfect enlightenment. Great is our felicity, and all other beings rejoice as never before. All our palaces made beautiful through this light. Now we offer the world honored one, condescend in compassion to accept them. Then I think when this Tathagata attained the enlightenment, the light gave forth throughout the world, and all sentient beings came across this light and appreciate it and rejoice the light and also rejoice their life. And then they realize the palaces where they live become very beautiful by light. So finally they say, we will offer this beautiful palace to you. So the palaces are given to the Buddha. And then after this, they say, condescend in compassion to accept them. Then he says, they say, may this deed of merit extend to all creatures, that we, with all the living, may together accomplish the Buddha way. Exactly same as this. So, after offering the beautiful palace they used to live, is given to Buddha. And then, this offering may this merit penetrate into each thing in all places, so that we and every sentient being together can realize the Buddha way. They chant like this. So, this echo, this closing the gata, comes from these stories in the Lotus Sutra. Okay. And then after this, Buddha Tathagata, this Tathagata, talk about Four Noble Truths to audience. This is chapter 7. So in this, the gata, we say, may the merit of this penetrate into each thing in all places, so that we and every sentient being together come realize. So what you have done, the merit of your doing, is given to all sentient beings. So your doing, your practice is not just for you. So your practice is given to all sentient beings, not just for you. I think this is very important, and I think in the Shobo Gendo chapter Shoaku Maksa, good and bad. There is all the story. One of the governors in China in ancient time was really great Buddhist, and went to see one of the Zen masters and discuss about some aspect of Buddhism. He asked the Zen master, what is essence of Buddhism? And the Zen master says, do not something unwholesome, do something wholesome. Purifying your own mind. This is Buddha's teaching. And then the governor named Pai Chi'i. He was governor and also great poet. So he said, it is all Buddha's teaching. The Zen master says, yes, it is Buddhist teaching. And then the governor says, such a teaching is known even by a little three-year-old boy. In other words, that teaching is not real teaching, because governor expected something more than that. So teacher says, yes, even a little 3 years, a 3 year old boy knows pretty well, but even 80 years old man cannot practice it. This is the whole story. And then Dogen Zenji comment on these stories one by one. So he mentions like this. So he says, poor, Dogen Zenji comment on this, He said, poor Pai Ji Yi, what nonsense you were talking about. You have never heard the Buddha's teachings. Do you know a three-year-old boy? Do you know the principle prior to incipience of his birth? One who knows a three-year-old boy can also know the Buddhas in the three worlds. How could one who has never known the Buddhas in the three worlds know a three-year-old boy? Do not believe that you can know a person you have met. Do not believe that you cannot know a person you have never met. This is a part of criticism, not criticism, commentary. So he first says, poor Pai Chi, because he was, Pai Chi Yi was great intellectual person, great person. People say he was just like a Zen master, just like Manjushri and Avalokiteshvara. Means everyone knows him very well. So he was very well known person. Now Dogen then mentions, you are a well known person by people and you commanded respect from all people, but still you don't know exactly what the Buddha's teaching was. Because he accepted that teaching mentioned by Zen teachers, do not do something unwholesome. Do something wholesome, purifying the mind, your mind. This is Buddha's teaching. So he accepted this teaching in terms of moral sense, usual sense. So that's why Dogen Zen says, poor Pai Chi Yi, what nonsense you are talking about. You have never heard the Buddha's teachings. Buddha's teaching is not something like that you have understood. So do you know a three-year-old boy? I think even though you see the three-year-old boy, how much you can understand baby or three-year-old boy? Even though you have met, even though he is present in front of you, how much do you understand? We don't understand exactly. So that's why he said, do you know a three-year-old boy? Because three-year-old boy speaks of his life in the universal perspective. Something more than you have understood. So you don't know. You don't know exactly what he is speaking of. So that's why if you see baby, you are really moved by the presence of babies. He doesn't say anything, but the adults are really impressed by baby's presence, or 3-year-old boys, because they are talking about, they are speaking of something more than, you know, what you have, more than what you have seen or heard. So Dogen Zen mentioned, that's why Dogen Zen mentioned, do you know a 3-year-old boy? Do you know the principle prior to incipience of his birth? Because do you know the real 3-year-old boy not after his birth? How about, do you know the principle before his birth? Well, before his birth, there must be something. Do you know who you are? You know who you are after birth. But do you know about you before your birth, before your parents' birth? We don't know. So that's why if we say, I understand you are living together, and then in order to know each other pretty well, then let's live together. This idea is pretty good, but I don't know how much you understand. No. You never understand exactly. After living a couple of years, and then you decide, let's get married. Because we know pretty well each other. But a couple of years later, after marriage, you divorce, pretty easily. So how much do you understand the people and about you yourself? So that's why Dogen Zen says, do you know the principle prior to incipience of his birth? Is that correct? Incipience of his birth? One fool knows a three-year-old boy can also know the Buddhas in the three worlds. If you know somebody exactly, including the principle prior to the incipience of people's birth, you can know all Buddhas in the three worlds. Means you can know everyone. If you master one thing, you can know everything. If you know perfectly, what you call, well, whatever it is, sports and whatever. If you know one thing perfectly, you can know human life very well. But usually people don't master perfectly one thing. Always people become a butterfly to jumping here and there. Doing one thing he doesn't like and then move away and get something else. So always, at that time, you don't know. You don't know what human life is. So that's why he says, one fool knows a three-year-old boy can also know the Buddhas in the three worlds. How could one who has never known the Buddhas in the three worlds know a three-year-old boy? If you don't know the whole human world, trees, birds, pebbles, oceans, lake, if you don't know all beings in nature, you don't know who you are. You cannot know yourself. So if you want to know the nature, all sentient beings in nature, I think you have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, I think you cannot know anything. That's why Buddhism, Zen Buddha says, to learn the Buddhism is to learn the self. Also, he says, do not believe that you can know a person you have met. Do not believe that you cannot know a person you have never met. So even though you meet every day, you practice together, but you don't know. Don't believe that we know everyone pretty well because we meet every day. Don't believe in that way. But also, he says, do not believe that you cannot know a person you have never met. Means, even though you never see anything, behind the trees and 100 years ago, we don't know what's going on around the trees 100 years ago, because it was a time before I was born. But at that time, even though you cannot see it, it doesn't mean, don't believe that you cannot know it. Yes, you can know it. Also, continually, he mentions, one who knows a speck of dust can also know the whole world. Even a speck of dust. If you know pretty well, you can know the whole world. One who penetrates one Dharma, one thing, single thing, one thing, can penetrate the myriads Dharmas, means whole world. I think people are very greedy, in a sense. If you become a Buddhist, you always try to know everything, including philosophy, psychology, and medicines, and everything you want to know. If you are really genuine, smart, you can do it. But if you are a very common person, I think you don't have any capability to master everything. So, don't be afraid, don't hesitate to master one thing. That is great. So if you really master Zazen, only one Zazen, I think you can understand what human emotion is. You can really understand human emotion. Human heart, human intellect, the instinct, you can understand the natures pretty well. And also you can understand what the time is. What the shortest period of time, you can know. Even though you don't have a computer. So, I think if you master thoroughly one thing, you can know all. But people are very greedy. That's why people always do something halfway. Always. Biting just a little bit and then move away. That's why he said, one who penetrates one Dharma can penetrate the myriad Dharmas. One who doesn't penetrate the myriad Dharmas cannot penetrate one Dharma. So I think you have to accept not only the present, but also past and future. You should penetrate. Penetrate means you should really accept. Open yourself, your heart must be open perfectly and to accept past, present, future. And then you can know who you are in the present. And also, if you want to know what the past is, what the future is, you should penetrate the present thoroughly. Then you can know. But as most people try to know the past and the future, ignoring the present, it's impossible to know that. When you learn the penetration by virtue of thoroughgoing penetration, to see the myriad Dharmas is to see one Dharma. To learn a speck of dust, never fail to learn the whole world. So, when you learn the penetration means really master, you have to master thoroughly. You are versed in something. Only one thing. At that time, your action, your practice is always right in the middle of thoroughgoing penetration. just like a spinning top. If the top is spinning perfectly, top becomes calm. If you become you as you are, you don't know who you are. If you are concentrated on something perfectly, you don't know the time and the space. When you really devote yourself to play the gambles and etc., you completely forget time and space and you yourself, the suffering and the pain. And so I think in order to master something, your practice must be right in the midst of thoroughgoing penetrations. Okay? At that time, learning oneself, one thing, it never fail to learn all sentient beings. You can learn naturally. So that's why in this garden we say, may the merit of this penetrate into each things in all places. In all places means past, present, future, the whole universe. So that we and every sentient beings together can accomplish the Buddha way. So I think we should accept ourselves. We should do something with all sentient beings. What you cannot see, but what you cannot see doesn't mean not to exist. It exists. So you can know it. In order to know it, I think you should penetrate one thing perfectly with wholeheartedness. At that time, right in the midst of perfect concentration, oneness appears. Within the oneness, all sentient beings come into one screen, so-called oneness, where you are naturally. That's why if you practice day by day with wholeheartedness, that practice makes the progress in your practice. So naturally, it makes you a master, professional. But if you don't, it's very difficult to master one thing. So if you want to know, if you want to know the past, the present of your life, anyway, you have to really penetrate one thing in the present. Then, naturally, it extends into the past, present, future. So very naturally, that practice guides you to the master. It guides you to achieve final goal of what you have to do. So that's why in Buddhism we always chant with all sentient beings. Okay? So we should do something with all sentient beings. And we should give away the merit of what you have practiced to all sentient beings. Okay, do you have a question? Hey.
How do you, I realize that I thought I was putting my whole heart into something, but I wasn't. And I don't know. How do you know?
Well, it's with your next senses, so it's very difficult to know. But if you do it, I think you can. It manifests itself naturally. That's why all you have to do is you really devote yourself to practice every day. If you want to master dance as a dancer, so you have to practice completely beyond your emotional situation, beyond you like or dislike. Anyway, every day you practice. And then this practice, there is, if you think of a future, we don't know the guarantee whether you become a great dancer or not. But all you have to do is, every day you have to practice like this. And then, it's progress, naturally. And Dogen Zenji mentions one more thing. He says a very interesting point. He says like this. Practice, and penetration, thoroughgoing penetration, in action. Okay, is that okay? Thoroughgoing penetration in action means samadhi. You really jump into the water and then swim. Okay? Swim is. To thoroughgoing penetration in action with the water, the sky, so your body, six senses, all become one. That is thorough penetration, okay? That is a practice. We call practice or undefiled practice, we say. Alright? So he says, if you do this, it is good. In the beginning, in the middle, in the end. All is good. But you don't see it. And also he says, so that it manifests itself as form owing beings, wholeness, force, it all the practice. This is 10 factors of beings. Okay? 10 factors of beings in the Saddhama Pundarika Sutra means the presence of the microphone manifests itself as 10 factors of beings. 10 factors means a form, all being, and also wholeness, and force, function, cause, conditions, effect. Retribution and ultimateness. So form means external form, okay, and all being means internal quality. Microphone as internal quality, microphone as external form, microphone as wholeness, which means one wholeness of form and all beings. External form, internal form becomes one. This is wholeness. So you can separate internal form or internal quality or external form. You can separate because both working together. This is wholeness, okay? And the force. Force means a potential capacity. Potential capacity means human beings or microphone has its own capacity, which we cannot believe, something more than we believe, okay? Particularly human capacity is something more than you evaluate. If you practice Zazen, you can see how great your capacity is. So that is the force everyone has, okay? It's great force. We have energies, life force. Okay, whatever it is, it's always alive. This is a force, and the function, which means manifested process. Function means microphone always manifests itself as a force. Okay, so cause, direct cause, which makes a thing originate and act. Everything has a cause, its own, of its own, because it exists. And also condition, which means indirect cause, which facilitate the process of direct cause. So, if you put the seeds, naturally, indirect cause come together and to facilitate development of cause. So, seeds grow. Because around the cause, there are warmness, sunshine, human effort, humidities, many things there. Okay? This is conditions. And the effect, very naturally, it grows in fruits, you know, form of fruit. Okay? And also retribution, because it's help. It helps the human beings and all other beings. So that is retribution. The ultimateness means from the one, number one, number two, all are coherently interconnected, each other. So that is ultimate nature of existence, ultimate nature of microphone. So ultimate nature of microphone includes from number one, number two, and number nine, form, on being, wholeness, force, function, cause, condition, effect, retribution. Those things working together. Okay? Complete beyond your speculation. So if you do get sure, there is wonderful energies there. Okay? Form, external form, internal quality, and oneness. Those are oneness. Okay? So very naturally, if you express a form, I think that that form manifests, that form means to express internal quality. In other words, you accept, you mature, make the, your internal core, internal situation of existence mature. If it becomes mature, naturally it comes up. And then that is a form. So if you see the form, very naturally there is internal quality there. So form is not merely form, you see. So this kind of a form is already internal quality there. Okay? Table, microphone, whatever. And also there are force, fantastic, enormous energy there to live, whatever it is. Okay? Those things are always working together. Okay? So if you do get show, very naturally you can see those energies, but it's really there. That's why if you do this, very naturally you develop. Your personality, character is right naturally. Okay. Then ask a question.
Say is functionally happening and when this chant is recited.
Function?
Right. What I'm thinking about is in terms of there's a conceptual level in which you could say it's a very fine concept to transfer the merit. But then I'm wondering specifically about what happens functionally when this is recited. What is the intention here? For a particular experience to happen in the person reciting it? you understand my question at all?
Yeah, I feel a little bit, but not exactly.
Yeah, that's the way I feel too. In other words, one thing you could say here, in other words, I guess I'm looking at this from the point of view of a practice that someone does, is chanting this. I'm not talking about it from the point of view of the philosophy expressed in the echo, but as an activity that someone does, chanting this echo or reciting it mentally.
Reciting the Rani or a short verse, whatever.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Functionally, then what happens?
I think the it's very difficult to. There are not so much opportunity to know the what happened when you do exactly, but the opportunity is very rare to know it. But beyond the two, whether you know or you cannot know, I think functioning is always functioning. And also you can always experience something. But the great opportunity is very rare to touch your heart. So always pass by. But someday, something touches your heart. Because always we pass by experiencing. That's why finally someday we can touch the heart. So whatever you feel, chanting the verse, chanting the name of Avalokiteshvara, you know, with a gassho, and that time your six senses doesn't accept, doesn't know. So your six senses always pass by. Or sometimes six senses stop and watching. Okay. What are you doing? What does it mean always? Or they continually you ask what it is, what does it mean, what did you get from that chanting, etc. Then finally you don't get any answer, so your consciousness just pass by, because many consciousness coming up after one after another, always. So you cannot stay one consciousness. So consciousness, conscious world is pretty busy. So that's why more sooner or later you have to pass by. Okay? But consciousness doesn't accept it. But if you do it, you can experience. You do it. Okay? That's why I say you can make a progress in the practice as far forth as you have done. Exactly, it touches your heart, but consciousness doesn't accept. That's not. But we should wait for the time to know. But that's why Dogen Zen says, even though you don't see something, I think, don't believe that you can see it. Still, you can see what you cannot see. So that is our practice. So within the practice, there are huge world is there. What you can in the sphere of the practice, thoroughgoing practice, there are some you can see, there are some you cannot see. But you should accept both. Is that all right?
So that seems to suggest that you accept practice as it is given to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So is there any area where there is choice in practice?
What choice is already the conscious world. But the thoroughgoing practice is not that in the realm of alternative. Because if you participate in an alternative world, very naturally you have to involve in something many things, philosophy, psychology, etc., and the material world, and or you have to participate in spiritual world. You have to research the mind, what's going on there. So very naturally, you start to research what's going on. But the more you research, you will analyze your consciousness, what's going on in the process of the zazen, whatever you do. It makes you confused very much because you don't know what's going on there. Because sometimes many things happen. Okay? So the more you practice, you study intellectually, or if you try to find some space you can make a choice of, okay? In order to know something in better ways. I think it seems to be good, but I think finally you are very confused because no conclusions. So finally think what you come to the end is right now, right here, how you live. That's it. How you live now. In peace, in harmony, steadfast, how do you be present? That's the question. Final, what you have, this is a final goal, what you have to do. But people don't believe this one because it is too simple. But Buddhism always mentioned about this, but the Buddhist people are very interested in all this analysis of what's going on. Okay? Analysis of how to live right now instead of just live right now in peace and harmony. People don't do it. All this analysis, analyzing what we should do it. You know, right now, right here, analyze. This is a teaching of Buddhism. All this teaching, psychological, philosophical, Buddhist teaching office offers us, present us like this. So finally we forget how to live, right now. So I think there is completely no alternative there. If you are exactly present right now, right here, without any alternative, then all things come into in your life. And then gradually you can know a little bit what alternative is. So you can make a choice. Is that all right?
Well, what was that very last point?
After making a choice by the alternative sense, you know, and then you try to find a best way how to live. You cannot do it. First, you have to really do how to live. Right now, right here, constantly, and then from that, alternative coming up. Flower blooms. Spring comes, and the whole world becomes a warm, whole world becomes spring and then flower blooms, okay? But human beings are always interested in flower blooming, analysis of flowers, trees, and springs, etc., completely separately. We don't believe oneness of spring and blooming flowers. So I think we should. How to live right now, right here, it means you have to take care of human life in the realm of oneness, okay? Merging of the spring and blooming flowers simultaneously. And then you can see the flower blooming and you can accept the full spring naturally. And then you can make a sentence. Flower spring comes and flower blooms. That's it. Because before you make a sentence, already here is the oneness, including your life, tree's life, flower's life, all exist simultaneously in the realm of oneness, merging of the spring and the flowers. Now all we have to do is accept it and live there. Means how to live right now. Trees does in that way, that's why flower blooms. Trees exist as it is. But we don't do, we do reverse. Always analyzing, synthesizing, and then try to find perfect place. And then let's get into it. No, it's analysis. It's still dualistic, separations.